I feel like I have been directing this show for a really long time.
Has your whole life led to this moment of directing Lady Day at the Emerson Bar and Grill?
It's kind of funny you ask that because I say that about every show I direct.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 949, Revisiting Lady Day. My guest, Candace Handy, is the Associate Artistic Director of Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, and her production of Lainey Robertson's Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill just opened at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. Lady Day dramatizes one of the final performances given by the great Billie Holiday, and though I knew the playwright briefly when his play premiered almost 40 years ago, I've never actually seen it. So I was thrilled to talk to Candace about her production, how it lands differently now, and how she first connected to the material.
I grew up as a musician. Oh. So, like, there are definitely aspects of it. There are times where I think to myself, that's why I took piano lessons, or that's why I did this thing. It was to be more informed to direct this show.
You come to realize you know things you didn't know you knew.
Exactly. But I find that a lot about directing in general. But like a show like this, where it's really a play about her life with songs. Mm-hmm. It's not a musical.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to jazz and I just really love this type of music.
Back in the 80s, I was in the BMI Music Theater Workshop with Lainey Robertson. This was just after this play premiered, and I was in the workshop with Lainey in 87 or 88, and so he was the big deal in the room because he had had this big hit. But how has the play changed for this moment for you?
I think there's an important conversation happening in the arts community. In performing arts and theater, a conversation around why do theater at a time, or why produce art at a time when there's so much turmoil, there's so many bigger things going on in the world, there's so many real world problems. Why, like, go and listen to someone sing these beautiful songs right now. And I think that there's a parallel there with the way that I think we can learn a lesson with the way that Billie Holiday lived her life as, you know, her art, her craft was her form of survival. It was literally the only way she was able to survive. Not just financially, emotionally. Her voice was literally all she had. At the end of her days, that was all that she was left with, quite frankly. Like, I mean, she had no money, that's for sure. But I think that there's a parallel there, thinking about how much we sacrifice as artists to do this type of work, you know, there's conversation around who are we doing it for? Who benefits off of this, really? Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting time to, and how does it help people? Like I had a teacher when I was at conservatory, he would say, actors are doctors. Actors are doctors of the soul, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. It made me think about what I was doing, what I was learning to do. It made me think of it with a much bigger responsibility and a sense of responsibility. What is the responsibility of an artist, right? And I think by doing this show right now, there is a lesson there that, you know, we watch this woman and we she's an icon. Like, you know, when Billie Holiday sings, it's a moment. When we hear that voice, it's a moment. But no one thinks about what she sacrificed and what she went through to give us that. And it's like, there's so much in it. It's like lessons about like helping yourself, thinking about yourself when everything is so bad. How do you mentally, how do you keep your mental health in order? How do you put yourself in a position to help others and create art? Because we can't create art if we're not okay. And this woman literally was like never okay. Right. And she was still doing it. And it just makes you question, like, I don't know, what's it for? And for her, it's like, I have to do this. And I think a lot of people can, relate to that.
Today. Oh, 100%. I mean, I know my own self-care regimen in these horrible times that we're mm-hmm. in has been mm-hmm. to double, triple, fourple down on my art, on mm-hmm. these podcast conversations, because I think you're 100% right, particularly with Billie Holiday and artists of that caliber. They provide moments of transcendence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For audiences. And the other challenge, the business challenge, is making sure the right audiences see what we've created. But also what you say too is that transcendence can only happen when one recognizes the pain and the difficulties one is transcending.
Right.
Is that apparent in the play, or is that, I don't know the play. I've never seen it, and I wish I could see this production. Is that sufficiently brought out in the play, what Billie Holiday accomplished and overcame, or is it just like a feel-good evening of songs?
It's not a feel-good evening of songs.
Okay. That's what makes it so powerful and why people keep doing it, is my guess.
Yes, but our Lady Day, Janice Upton, she sounds, when she sings the songs, it's a moment. I'm very proud of the work. I'm very proud of her because it really captures the moment of like what it would be like if Billie Holiday was in the room singing a song that you know. So in those, and it's really beautiful, and the song's really kind of, it provides that levity while at the same time, I can't help but think like, it's heart-wrenching because it's like, how does she still sound like that after telling us this?
Yeah.
But I think, to answer your question, I think what the play does well, it gives Billie Holiday a voice. It gives her an opportunity to tell us in her, they're not her words, but I think it's a pretty good depiction of how, the stories that she would tell and how she would tell them if she could. She wasn't really a talker in performance. She was known to come out, do her gig, sing the songs, and go home, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a very much imagined framework, her giving us these big monologues in between songs. And the idea is she's lost in it. Like, she forgets where she is because it's her last show. The idea is that it's her last one of her last performances, and she dies in a couple of months because she's 44. It's the year she dies. And Emerson's Bar and Grill is in this imaginary world. It's one of the last places that she played.
Thank you. Nina Totenberg, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month in March 2025, we will follow Lady Day at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts, for the three-week Lort Theater premiere of the comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. And then in April and May, we'll bring back a newly updated version of All the Great Books Abridged, performing it in Bristol, Tennessee, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Louisville, Kentucky, Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Candace Handy, talking about her production of Lainey Robertson's Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, which runs at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts through February 23rd, 2025.
Fun fact about Lowell. Lowell had a bar here called the Flamingo Club. And that is the last place that Billie Holiday actually played.
Whoa.
Which is so, yeah, a book. There's a book that came out about a year ago about her life, and it's got some new information in it. And it's just a really obscure fact that the last place she played was actually in Lowell, because at the end of her life, she wasn't playing in like bigger venues. She was just looking to play somewhere.
Sure.
But this play takes place in Philly, which is, it gives it a quite a effective dramatic effect, because she did time in Philly. So just the venue itself, the setting raises for her. She gets triggered by the songs that she's singing. They make her think about these different points in her life, and just being in Philly, it's the most horrific time of her life, because it's where she did time, where she couldn't sing for a year. Ugh. A year and a day, she says. You know, I was not able to sing. And she talks about having to get this cabaret card and singing. It's literally all she, it's all she had. So yeah. It's, you know, so Lainey puts it in a triggering environment for us. And it sets us on this path of like, she starts off, she sings a couple of songs. It's gorgeous. Everybody's like, wow, this pianist is great. She's funny. She's fun. You know, there's jokes. You know, you get a little bit of her personality. The few recordings that there are out there where you can hear Billie Holiday just talk. Yeah. She was chill, pretty chill, pretty even keel. Just like, you know, she'll, you know, it's like, yeah, I play with the band. I like to follow the band. I love music. Like, she's pretty chill. But then the show starts to take a turn, because these songs just start making her think about, there's just different bookmarkers in her life. And these are, and some of it we know, some of it's well known, and some of it is, I guess, because this show has been produced enough and Billie Holiday is a big enough figure, a lot of it you do know,
right?
Right? We know that she does, you know, we know that she has addictions, but there are details about the story where it's like, oh, her grandmother was a slave, like,
wow,
which is super important to, like, even though it's imagined, I do think that it is a fun and interesting depiction of what she would be like as a person if you were sitting in a room talking to her about her life. It's interesting, the stories that Lainey decides to tell this audience that came out to see her. Because apparently he wrote this inspired by the fact that he heard that her last show only had like 10 people at it. Like one of her last shows only had like a few people at it. So we really play with the idea in this production, because Mary Mack holds about 200 people. So we play with the idea of like, she comes out and it's like, all these people are here for me.
It's so great that so many things about what you said.
It's one thing to know the facts about Billie Holiday. It's another to experience her voice even through the instrument of your leading actor there. But as you say, to see her in an intimate space like Merrimack Rep, which even the farthest seat in the back row is not that far
that
away.
Right.
It's a lovely, it's a kind of a lovely little jewel in this weird old mill town of Lowell, Massachusetts. We have fond feelings of performing at Merrimack Rep for a bit, for multiple times. So I hope they're treating you well and your people.
Always. Courtney Sale, I'm so grateful to her. We just hit it off immediately when I met her. I met her years ago now. It doesn't seem like it, but when we were working on Stephen Dietz's Gaslight play, which is, it's now published, but we were workshopping it like 2 years before we produced it. So this is a pre-pandemic workshop. I want to say it was maybe 2018. That's when I first met Courtney. And I just knew, or maybe it was like 2019. I can't remember, but she's just one of those people where I just felt, I'm like, oh, I need to listen to this lady. Like, she's taking care of me. And like, she's telling me, she's dropping gems. Just, you know, I always look up to women artistic directors anyway. But she's just got this real mama bear vibe where she's like, you know, I came in with my concept, you know, and some of the people on this team, on the production team, knew me from being an actor in Gaslight, but most of them did not. No one knew me as a director. So I come in and I'm like, I want it to be gritty. I'm like, this isn't a Broadway Emerson's Bar and Grill. It's going to be a real bar and grill. You know, it's going to be, you know, this is a Black woman who sacrificed everything. And, you know, she's got her vices. She's got a disease. Like, and I don't want this to be a nice, fun, easy night at the theater where we get to listen to Billie Holiday sing. I don't want it to be comfortable. And Courtney's just like, yeah, Candace, yes. And I even asked her about, like, I mean, I've made some changes to it. Like, bless Lonnie, but some of it, I'm just like, no. Some of the stage directions, I'm like, we're not doing that. Because I know better. Me and Janice, who plays this role.
Yeah.
As Black women, it's like, as Black women who are in the industry of performing arts, we just know there are certain things that you would react a certain way.
Sure.
One of the big changes, I'll give it away because you're not going to see it. Should I give it away? Can I
sure.
do a spoiler?
Okay. Yeah, spoiler. Spoiler alert if anybody going to see this.
Spoiler alert. Okay. At the end, Lanny writes, the playwright writes, she's got this last song. It's the saddest song in the world. We have literally watched her just over the course of this play, over the course of this concert, if you will, just bare all. She gets down to the bare bones. So she removes her gloves completely. She drops her fur because she comes, once she decides to get high, she gets high during the show, spoiler alert. She comes back, she's wearing a fur, she's got her flowers, you know, she just comes back and she's just on one. But the more she talks, the more it's just really sad. And she's completely exposed and all the Billie Holiday iconic, like all of that branding stuff goes away. Mm. Like all of that stuff that we think about when we think about her is gone. And so for the last song, she sings it. And what the playwright wants is for the last verse to be done without her voice. She's just mouthing it. And that's the final moment is just the piano just just playing this very dramatic, sad song. Deep song is what it's called. And it's like, you know, love is in a barren land. Like, it's just like the saddest lyrics in the world. And we've decided for this production that she sings through it. And we keep her voice.
Yeah.
Because that's all she has left. And so I'm like, Lani, why would you take her voice away at the end?
Why are we silencing Lady Day?
Why are we silencing Lady Day after all of that?
Yeah.
After all, you know, she addresses the audience. These are my friends. I'm here. It's a night with my friends. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do is sing at a place like this. Yeah. Carnegie Hall was great, but I want to sing at a place like this. And her last confession is, what all I really have ever wanted was a kids, a home. I want to cook and I want a club. I want a very small club where I can sing to my friends. And we allow her to do that. Because she talks about wanting to die. Like, there are so many moments in the show where it's like, yeah, I could have just jumped in the ocean. I could have just jumped. Like, so we end it on a note of it's in the lyrics. She talks about not needing love because every man she's ever met has been horrible to her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need this. She can still go to this other place, possibly, and experience some sort of peace. Why are we going to take those words from her?
Right.
So she sings through it. She sings through it, and she just has this one last little look, spotlight into blackout, of like just an upward look, where it's like, maybe this tortured woman got some peace at the end, and she sang through it. And that's the story.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Candace Handy's production of Lainey Robertson's Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill runs at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts through February 23rd, 2025. Go to mrt.org for more information. Then send us your final concert via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to huge pianist Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, and music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Dorothy Eubanks. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to National Public Radio's Nina Totenberg. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 949/2847 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Candace, congratulations, because it sounds as if you have given Lady Day the grit it needs and the character of Billie Holiday, the transcendence she deserves.
Yes, that's what I wanted.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.